Tuesday, November 29, 2016, Judge Shearer, 934, status conference, Shirley Tsai, Trusts and Estates.
Who do I have on the phone?
Hi, this is Elliot Bernstein.
Thank you, and it said two other participants. Is there another participant? Is there anyone else?
This is just the court call operator.
Oh, okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's proceed. Please announce everyone who's in the room. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Ryan O'Connell, I'm the first representative of
the United. Thank you.
And Elizabeth, court appointed attorney in line with the county attorney. Good morning, Your Honor. Ken Collins, I'm here on behalf of Thank you,
thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Alan Rose. I represent Ben Bernstein, who is the personal representative of the estate of Shirley Bernstein, trustee of the Shirley Bernstein Trust, the Simon Bernstein Trust, which are the beneficiaries of both estates.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Duffy. I'm an attorney from the firm of Your Payment, representing Ben Berry, Simon Bernstein. We are.
Thank you. All right, give me 1 second to pull up my notes. I'm still pulling up my notes if anyone wants to know. Give me a second. All right. All right. Now, let me tell you at this point, in preparation of this hearing, I did review, I received a November 28, 2016 correspondence from Mr. Rose setting forth the position of what needs to be done and how we're going to move forward. That's their position, I understand. I also, I had been given a stack of documents last time, and I have more of a feel of what's going on now. I cannot, in all candor, I have not read every pleading in these three cases. There's much more reading for this court to do before we proceed. You know, I make judgment on anything. What I am ready to do, though, is establish timeline of how we're going to do hearings and move forward right now, because the letter did do a good job, as well as some of the objections filed and other things of letting me know what those outstanding issues are, and I do not want this to stagnate or get stuck. The other thing is, and I requested last time, no matter what is said for me, at least 5 days before, I will want case law that the parties want me to read. It does not need to be a formal memorandum. But if there is something you want me to read, do not give it to me the day before. Give it to me at least 5 days before. So, with that being said, this court's goal is to come to some conclusion in these cases. All right? And in looking, I know that we have the motion to approve the compromise and settlement. And what I'd like to do at this point is just, I'm going to start with Mr. Rose. And move down the line and tell me exactly. You all are much more familiar with this, but I want to do this in the most expeditious way as possible and utilize the court's time as much as possible. What the court's been going back and forth with is if it's better for me to set aside a couple of half days or set aside 1 day where we hear several matters at once. What I don't want to happen is give you a day and then we use the whole day on the first motion we start with. And sometimes when you do that, that's what happens. So I'm going to start with Mr. Rose and we'll get everybody's input and move forward from that point. I know there's also the motion, there's all,
here heard at one time when Ethel was in jail.
And when you say everything, give me the specific motions you're referring to, because that seems to be...
May I approach?
Yes, I've got your status.
Okay, so I haven't made a book of just the motions that are on the status if you want to back.
Bless you.
In order by the... They go by the order they're in here. I don't necessarily know that that's the order they should
have done. It's just filed pleadings. Excellent. All right, that'll help us.
And, the one thing I can tell you is Judge Coleman had done what we're asking you to do. He had several times set aside half days, and we would usually spend the first hour or two arguing who
was going to go first.
And who had standing.
Of course.
And much of the case, I must be doing something right in the case because the judges have ruled in our favor. The retired judge of the Guardian has agreed to settle with us and make sense. Mr. O'Connell, the personal representative, joined in most of what we're doing. The beneficiaries have all agreed.
I do have a question. I did see that with regards to, if I'm not mistaken, the Shirley Bernstein, it's all the grandchildren that are the beneficiaries, correct?
Not technically correct. Beneficiaries of the Shirley Bernstein Trust. Well, first of all, the beneficiary of the estate is the Shirley Bernstein Trust.
Got it.
The beneficiaries of the Shirley Bernstein Trust are 10 sub-trusts for the benefit of grandchildren.
And
however,
and Judge Ms. Lewis has been appointed as the guardian at those trusts for the grandchildren.
She's been appointed to represent the interest of Elliot Bernstein's three children in their trust. Elliot should be serving as the trustee of his trust, just like the other children are serving as the trustee of their children's trust.
Got it.
None of the grandchildren are eligible to be a co-trustee until they reach a certain age.
Got it.
So Elliot's children, even if they won the standing right here today, could not be the trustee of his trust and does not have individual standing in that sense. One of the things we've asked you to do in our motion to approve the compromise, first approve the settlement that was made in mediation. Number two, you've got to... This is going to be the hard one, to be truthful with you. You have to find an appointment of someone to serve as the trustee.
For Mr. Bernstein's children. For Mr. Elliott's children.
Lewis is created to serve as the guardian ad litem, not wish to take on a permanent role in the case. That's the one issue. And I think I was at your earlier hearings, you've noted that Judge Phillips closed his division for a while. So by the time we got the mediation documented and settled and signed, it was too late to get in front of Judge Phillips to settle and approve. Third thing we need to do with the settlement is just approve the fees, and then eventually, once we have a trustee, discharge the guardian. But that's the issue on the standing. I think the settlement agreement is with all the people who have standing, including the guardian ad litem, who has been appointed in both the Simon Bernstein Trust and in the Shirley Bernstein Trust to represent the interests of Elliot's children in their trust.
Now, so you would say the first thing I should do is approve the settlement and then go to the appointment of the trustee?
The appointment of the trustee is really a non-issue for the following. Everybody was standing to object to him. The only two people that have ever objected to him have been ruled by Judge Phillips and Bullen to lack standing to approve it. The reason I moved to ratify his appointment based upon the mediation settlement agreement was I wanted to take the issue off the table because you could spend thousands and thousands of dollars on the issue. But yeah, you could. If you're going to have that hearing, the problem is there's nobody left with standing to object to it.
And Ms. Guthrie, you believe you have standing to object to the appointment?
Sure, explain it. The estate assignment.
I'm clear on that.
To that settlement has an effect settling the estate assignment or clearly an interested party.
An interested party, but I don't know if you have standing to object.
Ever? Sure.
Yeah. As long as you show Ms. Guthrie first.
Yes. Well, have standing to object to settlement. First of all, we haven't seen it. Architect, right? We asked for a copy of it. So, we gotta know what they're doing, or we're all you have. We've been funding
lawsuit.
Right. So not only do we have a claim for reimbursement, those funds, which are up between $60,000 and $80,000, our client is entering a state on behalf of the estate that they want to sell.
Is that order in my notebook?
Which order?
The one you're going to approach me with.
I'm not sure. It was in the letter.
The letter was great in a lot of ways, but sometimes there was so much argument in it. I got a little...
You told me two pages and I couldn't... This is just a word from Judge Colin that said Mr. Stansberry lacked standing to... by the petition to remove the trustee and the
shareholder
by the time of
emergency. That's not the deal. Your Honor, looking at the status conference, we absolutely believe that we need to be heard on this issue. We have case law that will support our position that we have standing to present that. I think we would recommend an evidentiary hearing of what you said in the beginning of a couple hours to cure this issue. And in addition, we have a motion filed by Mr. Rose that's taken a completely opposite position to the estate. So there's no way it can represent the state assignment here when he's trying to keep funds from the estate assignment of the Illinois litigation. I know it's kind of complicated.
No, I did read it, like I said. I certainly haven't read everything. It's very complicated, but it's complicated because the court needs to discern which arguments are just unique, novel arguments and which actually have basis of law. And I don't find cases from anybody yet, but I didn't ask for them. That's why I'm saying, do not send me, I'm being very clear here, give me your best three cases on the issue. Do not be finding me cases out of Alaska that there's one word that seems similar, and here you go. I want your best three cases. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I will read them, but I will not read some rambling memorandum that you're billing your clients with. You can feel free to sit down. Thank you. All right. From what I'm hearing, let's do this.
Can I?
Ms. Guthrie, I'm deferring to you because you actually, that's it, okay. I'm looking, you did a great job at docket entries, that I'm going to ask, normally I'd have Harriet prepare the order, but because of the nature of this case, what I'd like you to do, Mr. Rose, is submit to me the following. An order setting hearing, what we're going to do, we're going to hear the objection, Stansberry's objection to trustee's motion to appoint Bernstein, which is what you've said, correct? Docket entry 475, and I actually want, just like you did in your status for me, for it to say that'll be heard. The motion to vacate, in part, the court's ruling on September 7th, you're trying to vacate the court's order permitting Mr. Rose to retain. So while you said to me we challenged that, it's already been ruled on, and now you're trying to readdress it.
Yes.
Correct? All right, docket entry 497. Let's go ahead, and I know you filed a response. The trustee's omnibus response and reply regarding 471, 475, and 497. And then it seems that 473 would also be included. Like, it seems like all the same thing because that's the motion to ratify and confirm appointment of Ted Bernstein, correct?
Yes.
So, like, depending, we're either going to go one way or the other, right? Would you all agree with that? So, 473. And, of course, the response to that, which is 495, essentially we're setting the first block. And there's and the reply, which is also filed the 28th. of all that, it will determine how much time I need or don't need to approve or ratify the settlement.
Where did I just put this up?
Do you all agree? Like, those are all collateral issues handle the settlement. Oh, there's a standing issue.
Hi.
They didn't even have the opportunity.
Your Honor?
One second, sir. Okay. One second, I'll be with you. Yes, sir. Mr. Rose.
That order is fine. The, I would add there's a motion to disqualify that and file in addition to 4-17.
Oh,
thank you. It was just filed yesterday. It doesn't have a docket entry yet, but I'll add that.
Thank you.
Same issue, basically, just in a motion versus a... I think you can do them in any order you want, because I think, to be honest, you can all do them in the same.
That's what I'm thinking. So
the only concern I have is the settlement agreement does contain it. If I just have 1 second to address something to honor the speed of the settlement agreement. Doesn't settle any issue in the estate of Donna Bernstein.
Okay.
All it does is settle issues between the beneficiaries of the trust in the event money flows from the estate to the trust, which can only happen under the probate rules if all these claims and administrative expenses are paid. It has no interest in that.
In that, I understand what you're saying.
There are three provisions of it in which the beneficiaries all agree certain things that are relevant to what we're doing. I put those three things in the motion to approve it. They unanimously approve that Ted should be the trustee and we should stop wasting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to remove someone who's doing a good job. They've all agreed that Mr. O'Connell and his firm were not moving fast enough for Mr. Stansberry in the case, that my law firm, which has already defended all the other defendants, should take over the defense. All the other defendants have settled. My firm, which has already knows all the documents, witnesses, should take over the defense of this side of the estate, trying to protect the estate money against Mr. Stansberry. Everyone agreed to that. And everyone agreed to the third provision in there that everyone had agreed. I put those in just so that they were on notice of it. I expected to come before Your Honor and have the settlement approved quickly. Mr. Bernstein on the phone is going to appeal it no matter what. And then we'd move
that's
forward.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
so that's
right.
Basically where we were.
Okay.
Now, I think the settlement should be approved first because it is the foundation for everything else. And I do think once you start going down the issues.
But they've raised objections to me approving the settlement, so I think I've got to. I respectfully think I'm going to do those first and then. Mr. Burns?
I'm also fine giving them a copy of the settlement agreement with the caveat that it not be on the internet, because every single thing that happens in this case goes from them to Mr. Bernstein to the internet, or goes from Mr. Bernstein to the internet, and these are settlements that affect minor children, and it should not be on the internet like everything else that's happened in this case from 2012 until recently. That's the only concern with giving them the agreement. I could care less if they have the agreement.
Mr. Elliott, I'm only referring to you as Mr. Elliott, not to be disrespectful at all, but because there's so many Bernsteins in this case.
That's okay.
I hope that you do. Okay, yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Well, the first thing I object to is what was just said to the court is false and misleading. We've learned from Mr. Rose that there are no 10 grandchildren trusts. There are none in the record. They've never been produced, and the trust he sued me under in the Shirley Bernstein Trust construction case as a defendant is a Simon Bernstein Trust dated the day my father died, and he's yet to produce that either, and the children's sub-trusts are supposed to be under that trust, but they're not. Second, his orders for guardianship and standing only apply to Shirley's trust case, not to Shirley's estate, not to Simon's trust, not to Simon's estate. So those are gross misrepresentations. Diana Lewis is operating under my three children's trust, which I have no record of. They weren't produced when the former fiduciaries produced all their documents after they were terminated for fraud and forgeries in the closing of my mom's estate. And Mr. Rose is continuing and perpetuating a fraud. You can continue to have hearings going forward in fraud, but really the frauds need to be addressed, and the first thing that needs to be addressed is Mr. Rose needs to produce the Simon Bernstein Trust dated 9/13/12 and the 10 sub-trusts that he claims are the beneficiaries. If those can't be produced, you're in the middle of a fraud. You have no jurisdiction over parties that don't exist, meaning you don't have the jurisdiction to put my kids in guardianships. There's no trust that the people are claiming are beneficiaries. And actually, if you look at the documents, the grandchildren are nowhere named as beneficiaries in any of this. But we'll get to that through the peeling of the onions of the frauds that have happened in the court and are continuing to be ongoing. And we have Brian O'Connell, who submitted to the court that Ted is operating is a not valid trustee in the Simon Bernstein Trust. We have Mr. Feeman, both registered attorneys, claiming that Ted is conflicted, adverse, and I would have to agree because all this fraud and forgery happened while he was the fiduciary and it was his counsel that committed the frauds to benefit Ted. And so why he's even here with Mr. Rose is beyond comprehension. But I'll let you go on forward however you want to go. You know, we each determine our own fate.
Well, no, Mr. Elliott, I appreciate your input. I think then actually you agree with the way I'm progressing forward, which is to first handle any conflicts with Mr. Rose's counsel. And if at any time, at this point, I was provided an order regarding the standing in the Shirley Bernstein case, correctly, as you said. And as you know, my job is to try to make the best appropriate decision as this court sees fit, but at the same token, it will always be open to you to establish a record should you wish to challenge my rulings. The court has no problem with that, because certainly there's the appellate court to tell me if I've missed something, okay?
And I respect you.
So that'll be our...
And I respect your thank honor you. On that and your due diligence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you think that it'll be productive, okay.
Okay. I'm going to revise my wish list.
Okay.
The hearing you want to have is going to cost $20,000. Therefore, it's going to show up at. The amount of money we're spending in these relatively small states is outrageous.
Agreed. But
if we have a 20 or 30 minute hearing on standing issues that address the legal question of who has standing to do what, then we will know if we may not need any hearings after that if you agree with our position that these gentlemen have no standing at this point to object to the settlement, to object to the, proceeding forward. So I don't know your schedule and when we're going to have this 3 hour or all day.
Well, it's going to be a long time away. Really well.
Yeah. One of the reasons we wanted to expedite certain things was...
So it would be the standing of Mr. Stansberry.
And Mr. Bernstein.
And Mr. Elliott.
Right.
Or the estate, the trust of family.
Right. But yes.
Sorry, trust of Simon.
And I mean, the main thing is everyone at this side of the room and all the people that aren't going to be beneficiaries, their main goal is...
That may be a...
That's not the only issue.
But they're objecting to you. So you know what?
And then let's do that right away. Let's do that tomorrow.
I have
a sure.
That's the most important issue. Until we get that result, we can't go forward and win the claim.
I agree, which is why I said let's set all the ones that I said that address your standing in. That's kind of why I went there.
And 3 hours, you think, or?
I don't want to spend... Yes. Yes.
I heard, and I was down 2 to 3 hours in my motion. And I haven't been involved that long as that. Exactly how far they go. But we're going to be doing 2 hours waiting for money. I'm here to spend it.
Oh, the phone call's breaking up. The court call is not working. I didn't hear that point. Excuse me. If you can hear me.
What she said is, let's not spend your children's money. And what's
yeah, well,
that exact thing she said? Hold on, sir.
Okay.
And what she was suggesting is that we don't need a full day, and that even 2 to 3 hours, she wants us to narrow the issues. So I agree with her to the extent that, absolutely, I think we do have to do the hearings on if Mr. Rose is in or out. And we could probably, and that was all the list I gave.
Oh, the court call's breaking up again.
A lot of this can be shortened if the lawyers are informed that they're only going to have a certain amount of time to argue, because you'll read everything.
I will. I will. All right. Well, let's see.
That's my worst point.
No, that's a good point. So, Don?
Morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
I wanted to build on your suggestion how to approach this as Lewis is on it as well. Perhaps the court was inclined to do so. We could order the parties to file a written response, they haven't already, to the hearings that you want to conduct. And plenty of time for you to be able to review them in advance and issue those cases if they have them. But we do come in here.
I think at this time everybody's done more responses. I want anything you want me to read at least 5 days prior.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's good. Let's put that in the order. I agree. That any response is not filed, and cases per issue, no more than 3 cases per issue, to be provided to the court 5 days prior to the hearing. You know what? I'm going to say 7, because if I say 5, you all will count the weekend. And you'll be, you know, giving it to me. So, if we have that hour, but I don't want to start now. I know, it's not going to be this year. March 2nd is the first time I have 2 hours.
What about an hour and a half?
I always laugh because, like, 2 hours is March 2nd. But you're right, tomorrow is an hour and a half. I am just being sarcastic. We'll see if we can. Better, apparently. February 16th. Can you all do that?
What date?
February 16th.
Honey, February 16th?
That's an hour and a half. At 2:30, February 16th.
February 16th.
So, and that's what day? That's a Thursday. So I want everything no later than, I keep revising when I want it because I want to have time to digest and read everything.
February 16th, Thursday. What was that time again, please?
Oh, no problem. 2:30.
2:30. Okay, thank you.
When is the Thursday report? I would think I could track 7 days off of the right answer, but at least I can help you. The 9th is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
All right. All responses are to be filed and provided with a courtesy copy of the court no later than February 9th. Parties to provide court no more than 3 cases per issue by February 9th. Okay. I will tell you right now, hand delivery will not get it to me the day you bring it.
Do you have the email?
It's best to do it by mail, by U.S. mail.
Well, that's hard for me.
That's how we have to do it, sir. I'm sorry. It's plenty of time, though. I mean,
you know, I'm on indigency, and I'm all. It's just much more complicated for me. And so.
Unfortunately, does not mean to inconvenience you, sir. All right. So that takes care of that. Yes, sir.
Mr. Rose. We have March 2nd here, and also finish what we don't finish on February 9th.
We can.
catch.
Well, that's the date.
Yeah, I can, what I'll do, then on February, excuse me, on March, what is it? March
2nd.
At 1:30. What we can do then, I actually think we ought to leave it to be determined. But it'll be your afternoon. Did you get that, Mr. Elliott?
No. What was that, March?
March 2nd at 1:30.
March
2nd? March 2nd at 1:30. The okay. Court is holding time. There's nothing set yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to hold March 2nd, and Mr. Rose will put that in the order that the court is holding March 2nd at 1:30. The parties are to remain available. The hearing is to be scheduled on that date or to be determined. Is that fair for everyone? So that way we have a schedule. I think that's a good way to proceed.
90 minutes on the first hearing and then 2 hours.
90 minutes on the first hearing, 2 hours on the second hearing.
Oh, 90 minutes to hear if Alan Rose and Ted Bernstein are have standing? Did I hear? Because I would, is that
going to... No, to hear if Alan Rose is an appropriate attorney. Okay.
Wouldn't that also... Would that also include if his client is qualified to be a fiduciary?
No, it's all about Alan Rose, correct? Is that what everyone understands?
Well, to one degree,
if
you determine they lack standing and you approve the settlement, you could ratify his appointment, but...
Yes. Are we also doing the standing issue after we do you, or we're just doing you first? It's my thought. We have to do you first.
Really should be all about me, but I understand that's really
the hour and a half. Yes, we're doing only Mr. Rose for the hour and a half.
Okay, and Your Honor, could you have him produce the trust he sued me under and the trust that's the named defendant in this case to me before that hearing?
What I can't do is I can't do that on an oral request. Mr. Rose? Yes?
Well, I don't think it's
going to
be able to understand things that are happening because there's a Simon Bernstein trust that's been approved by Judge Phillips. Inside that trust, it provides for the creation of
a trust.
There's no other document that exists. But those trusts get created, and by definition, they get created on the day Simon died.
But Your Honor, the document I'm sued under is not that document. I'm sued under a document of the Simon Bernstein Trust dated 9/13/12. And they're supposed to be... Well, it's on the caption of the case. You can just look it up, what Mr. Rose filed. He doesn't have a trust with that date and name on it. And therefore, all the sub-trusts supposedly under that trust don't exist. And the trust he's referring to, that right now is a 725 trust, of which there are no sub-trusts.
Right,
therefore, right.
Right.
And there's been no construction in any of this. So it's kind of...
All right, so that takes care of what we need to take care of for today. Yes, sir.
The book, or you want?
Can I?
Yes.
I don't know, if you're not taking my notebook back.
Can I assume everything you have there? I don't need to read that.
Yes, for the love of God. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. That concludes today's hearing.
Thank you, Your Honor.